you drive digital transformation in an industry that centers around physical experiences? Today's guest has some ideas. Jasper de Jong, Group Director for Digital Media at Via Outlet, shares his advice on creating a composable strategy to build the future of retail, even if nobody knows for sure exactly what that's going to look like. Learn the key pillars of a long-term transformation strategy, how to get buy-in and budget from stakeholders, and how to empower your people to build capabilities for the future. You're listening to People Changing Enterprises. I'm your host, Jasmine Goodman, and please enjoy this episode with Jasper de Jong.
My name is Jasper de Jong. I work for Via Outlet, and my role is Group Director for Digital and Media, so digital marketing and media for Europe. Via Outlet is redefining the outlet shopping experience. So we own 11 shopping outlet centers in Europe in 9 markets, and we are 100% owned by APG. It's a Dutch pension fund, and we exist 10 years now. It started 10 years ago with 3 investors buying outlets. And what we do is with 3 R's, remodeling, remerchandising, and remarketing, we build them up to a premium level. And initially, it was the idea that they're going to sell it again. And during time, it's quite an interesting model to make money. And so we would start buying more and more. Now we've got 11, and the idea is to grow in the future. So we try to expand in the coming years. And we're in there for the long run.
What would you say is a typical customer journey for Via Outlets, and how does digital play into that?
I think there's no typical customer journey. What we see is that we've got multiple type of guests. So we've got people coming as a bargain hunter, they only want to have the profit, etc. We've got people really into fashion lovers, so they have more the fashion brands that they're really interested in. Family with kids. So we've got different type of guests, and we've got a lot of tourism as well. And this is one of the reasons why we're currently going into a customer journey program to define in a better way what is now our preferred customer journey, but also the upfront, is our website really the best mechanism to get attention to our customer? What do we need to improve? A lot of done is, I think, very well over the years. We built a total new website for 11 centers and for corporate, but we still have a lot of questions because it's a tough one nowadays.
How are you looking to differentiate yourselves from the competition? How do you gain a competitive edge using digital?
So we've got a lot of competitors. Of course, we've got different companies who are doing the similar stuff that we do as a fashion outlet. So we've got competitors in that sense, but we also have competitors in the local city centers, shopping malls. So there's different variations. What I think we are different is that we try to build a day out. So we are more a destination area. We've got 150 stores, 250 brands in one nice village. There's something for the kids. You've got good food in some areas. They've got even a cinema in it. So it's a destination area where people spend roughly 3-4 hours. It's not you go in, you buy something, you go out. You try to extend the dwell time in our centers to get people as long as possible, because if you stay longer, you spend more in the end. That's the end goal, of course. So what we did as well with our new website is that I think the biggest challenge what we have is that we've got really good destinations where you can buy products, big brands, flagship stores. Our challenge was how to build this in a digital world. So we're not going to rebuild the entire center, of course, online, but you want to have a way to bring it closer to each other. So what we try to do is you get specific brand pages. Within the specific brand pages, we show the actual store in that local center. So we did every center, we did a shoot of every brand store. So if you go online, you go to a certain brand, you have a brand experience with heritage, you get information on the brand, an immersive feeling. And at the bottom is why you see the actual store, how it looks like, how the center looks like, to bring it closer to the on and offline world. As well, what we did is we tried to put a lot of video elements in it. So the homepage, different pages that you see how beautiful our centers are, even in a digital world. Because we don't have, you know, a lot of brands, they've got an online store, but we've got physical stores. You have to bring people to the center. That's where they need to be. So that's our main goal, to get people there. And that's the goal of digital, because a lot of the times it's their first connection. People start searching for a brand, we pop up. And then I think the website is the first step to understand what is our fashion, premium fashion outlet in that specific market. So the digital transformation we did, in the end, if you want to have a competitive edge, you want to be better than your competitors, we need to create an experience that goes beyond the product, because the product is not the clothing. The product is the destination of our center. So it's a destination of food, fun, day out, excitement, etc. The other one, I think it's what's important is focus on customer retention. So we've got a loyalty program. What we see is our loyal guests, so our fashion club members, they spend more, come more frequently to the centers. So it's an ongoing process. You have to collect data. I think fashion in general is quite heavily reflecting on ad campaigns, showing these are the brands, these are the products, this is what we have. Next to the fact that we are a destination, people start searching maybe for shoes, or I want a new sweater, or I want, that's how customers work. And then you have to pop up as well in ads. So I think you need to create a large audience to generate profit. So you can, there's a different ways how to need to know what your restrictions are on the data. And first party data in that sense is way more important than it was 5 years ago.
Absolutely. I think data is one of the core pieces for any business out there. But then probably the other bit is technology as a whole, right? Because if great if you own the data, but now if you don't have the technology that helps you leverage it and really tailor to your customers' needs, then what good is this going to do for you? Is that part of the thinking that led you to your digital transformation strategy?
When I came in VIA, I think we were at a quite good basis, but we were quite on the level of one size fits all, one-to-all communication. In that sense, I think we needed to move to the next level. And to do this, you need to have a platform, because that's why we built the website, but also a strategy behind it to become more people-focused. In the end, I made like a people-based marketing strategy, a lifetime focus, data-driven audience modeling, etc. So it's really, the data is key to build this. If you don't have the data, you don't have the systems, you don't have the platforms, you are not able to use this data, because then data in itself doesn't do anything. It's how you work as a marketeer, how do your system, how you connect the data. I think that's one of the key things that we're working on currently. And it's not an easy step, because you've got a lot of data sources and you can put them all in one data hub and then you can look at it and then nothing
or
happens.
Or not. So true. Is that sort of one of the points that led you down a path of going composable?
I think going composable had, for me, one of the reasons is to be flexible, because you don't know how the business evolves over years. But we are running currently in one of our centers in the Netherlands is an e-com solution with a third partner to find out, is it working? Is e-com a next step in premium fashion outlet? So you need to be flexible if we want to incorporate this into our normal structure we have in VIA, because now it's currently as a separate project. It's not running connected to the system we have, like the website or etc., but it's separate. But you have to be ready if we say, hey, we want to scale it up, or we want to move it to the next centers, etc., how to incorporate it. So in that sense, it's, for me, it's the one of the key things. And the other one is you have to think about economy of scale. We want to replace a lot of legacy systems. We said, okay, let's start from scratch. We want to be flexible for the future. So you want to build for the future. So in that sense, you have to be competitive to strengthen your core in that sense. What I mean with this is that you have to scope your ecosystem, look at your business model, so reimagine your business model. The other one is how to be your value chain. So how to look into how can you make your money. That is more like building for the future. That two big building blocks. If you strengthen your core, it's more like on the people and how to reconnect with your customers and how to rebuild your organization. So you have to be, there's a lot of elements that you have to transition, and then you have to be flexible and steering towards a certain direction, and you hope you're going into the right direction, but you don't know how 5 years from now look like. So I think that's the composable part is helpful. If say after 3 years, okay, we made a decision and it was good for the first 3 years, but maybe for the next 3 years, we need a better or different or set up. And if you do this with composable, I think it's helpful. It's easier because it's API first, it's microservices. And based on that, you can do add them, remove them. But I really believe there's players, they focus on key things that they're really good at. So it can be like content stack on a CMS, or it's a payment solution, etc. If you have this, then you can choose what fits best to your organization. is the flexibility. If we want to add e-com, we will add e-com solutions to it. You do the payment models, et cetera, et cetera. You build it up to it, connect it. It's possible. Easier in updating. I think it's easier adding stuff, replacing certain Microsoft. I think those are the big benefits of having a composable setup.
Yeah, it makes total sense. And I love that you said add or remove, because many times people only talk about the add, and then you add and you add and you add, and you add up, end up in a similarly desperate situation because nobody knows how things actually go together and nobody dares to touch it because nobody knows what the implications might be. But that also is the beauty. If you don't need a component anymore, you can just remove it. Where are you at in your digital transformation process at VIA Outlets?
If you look at the five-year roadmap we had, I think we're now in year 2 to 3, so almost halfway through. It's going good. It's a lot of work because you're touching so many elements in your organization. So it's not that it's only digital, but it's also change management. So you have to rebuild your organization, that people start thinking differently, the way you reconnect with your customers on your loyalty program, but also the way we start communicating with them, marketing automation. So there's, I think we've got still a lot to do. We need to focus on more on personalization. That's the next step. Make the website more personal. We need to integrate more data. We have to get people focusing on the right stuff. That's, we need architectural changes, more measurement. We need to be consistent, better visualize stuff, because in general, people like a visualization instead of all the numbers. And then based on that, you can do attribution and focus more on the brands, how to bring those alive, better decisioning, better segmentation, next best actions, testing, forecasting. I think you can name it. So I think there's so much stuff we still need to do, and probably we continue to do, and we continue to change and look into. But it's, I think currently the biggest struggle is to get the entire organization moving into that direction. So it's the agility, the internal alignment, because we've got 11 centers, we've got 9 markets. So we've got have an operational team in the market. So we need to look into the right resources. Are they the ones willing to move to that direction and have the right capability? So we need to train them. We need to update. If you look at these kind of things, there's so much work to do. And then I think that's the nice part of it, because otherwise it gets boring and then you sit at home doing nothing. I think that's a nice part of the digital world. I think it's evolving maybe quicker than we can follow it, but you have to choose the right stuff and the right moment and focus on it and make it work and then go to the next step.
Absolutely agree. What would you have done differently if you had known before you started?
We've got seasonality. So you want to fix stuff before a certain peak moment. So if I could have done something differently, I would have started a little bit earlier at my RFI, my RFP, finding the right partner. But it's also sometimes the nature of the organization, because you get your budget at a certain moment. So you have to get first the budget. So we did it quite quick. So I would like to have more time. And I think time is always the issue in these kind of things. So first, until now, I have the feeling we made the right decisions with the right partners, doing the right stuff. But it's more like, we need more than 365 days. If we need 700 days or something in a year, and then that's not how it works, I know, but that would be helpful sometimes.
I hear you. Any surprises, like things that were a lot harder than you anticipated or a lot easier?
I think the change management, to get everybody, people say, yeah, we know it's coming, and that people, you make them aware of stuff and telling them at a certain moment of time, this will happen. You need to be ready for it. Make sure you are prepared. And then you see a lot of people are still in a day-to-day job. It's really important because those are making the sales. So people are looking 2 to 4 weeks ahead instead of 6 months ahead. And I think that's the difficult one. So operating on a more like a 6 to 8 months timeline ahead, getting everyone in the same moment. This is the moment. We will shut down the old website, for example. We start moving into the new one. We have to build it up. So be aware, be prepared. And I think that's the biggest struggle, to get everybody aligned in these kind of things. In the end, it works, but that takes so much effort.
So true. And so many people on this podcast have said something similar. It's like the one thing they wish they had done more of, because the tech is the easier part. People that have to use it are the harder part.
tech is not the solution. Tech is a carrier. It's helpful, but it's the people that have to do the legwork. And that sometimes it's addition to your normal day-to-day job. It's a lot of additional work. And maybe people underestimate it. Maybe I underestimate it as well, because you have an idea what it will bring and what it will do and the impact. But then it's so massive because you've got a legacy system, legacy data, legacy information, and you need to start building it up to a certain moment. So what is good enough? So
right.
It's the nature. It's a nice as well, but it's challenging.
Challenging, yeah. How did you go about selling Composable to your stakeholders?
I think it went rather easily in that sense. You have to explain, okay, so hey, we are a company and our solution is that we have to be flexible in any way, because now we've got 11 centers, but it could be the case that we've got in 2 years' time, we've got 14 centers, or we sell some. So we need to be flexible and scaling. So they understand scalability because it's the nature of our business. So we grow, we expand, or we sell a certain center, and then we've got 10 instead of 11. So in that sense, we need to be more flexible on the website, because say, you look at us as Lego, it's like the building blocks. So you have to make a foundation that we have to run for nowadays, but you have to be ready for the future. So you add a block on top of it. And I think that was one of the eye-openers, to be more flexible for us. That was an easy one. I think it's you have to explain to them what is your strategy. So what do you want to achieve as a bigger picture? And this is one of the elements in it, and quite easy, tangible language to them, because they're not in the details. They're not into the really digital. They don't want to be. So my CEO is a really smart guy, COO as well, but they don't want to know the details. They want to say, okay, what's the leverage? What's the business case? What will it bring for the company? And what is the best solution? And that's helpful. And in the end, it's always you have to line up front there, and that makes it easier. So explain what are the key elements and never surprise your manager. I think that's...
that's a good one. Yeah, a manager usually don't like surprises, unless they have a dollar sign attached to it and are free. Can you share what the key elements were for you that you aligned on with your leadership team when you started that transformation? We talked about flexibility. We talked about scalability.
Yeah.
What else?
Return of investment. So in that sense, we had to do something, because there were some elements in our previous website we could not maintain anymore. It was becoming a monster of a platform. We had 11 websites, and I want to drill down from a unified platform. So I had a unified platform strategy. If I wanted to find something in one, then it goes to all 11. I want to have people spend more time on the right stuff, making the communication right, etc., instead of updating a website. So if one person updates the website on a certain brand, it should be there for 11. It should be automated. Translation should be in there. We've got a lot of offers. So we get from the brands, we get an offer. Then we've got every center has 3 or 4 languages. So it comes 33 or 44 different variations. So my solution is to get economy of scale, but also get easier views. So we built, for example, on top of content stack, we built a offer uploader. It's a 4-stage approach. You upload an image of the offer. Let's say it's a sweater, price, et cetera, et cetera. And that ultimately translate in the right languages. You can publish it immediately in the right languages. And the next phase in that one is, for example, that we want to give access to the brands so you get an approval process instead of they sending an email to us. So I was only thinking about how to get economy of scale, how to save time, because time is money, instead of adding more people to have the same amount of people, but they're doing the right stuff. And I think that's one of the key things of baking a business case. In the end, everybody knows you have to have a website. It will host. It has to be renewed after 3 to 5 years because it can't be maintained and the structure is not fit for the future, etc. But if you're going to spend such a huge amount of money, there has to be a certain business case around it. And I think that was one of the elements you have to bring into on the table, because that's how you get the money. You have to, because I don't get €1 million, for example, hey, have fun, spend it how you like. No, that's not how the world works. Those are the things that you need to look into account. And in general, then if explaining them really well, what is the advantages, so what it will bring for the future, I think we need to look into how to save money to be better in a different way.
And that's such a great point that you're making there, because so many times that is overlooked. Everybody just looks at, hey, how can we cut costs But very few people look at, hey, how can we save a lot of money downstream if we invest a little bit right now here, and then it will save us a ton of money later, basically. And that is the sort of the high level view that you need if you want to convince your leadership team or your board or whatever.
Yeah, but I think that's related to your strategy. Yeah? If you have got a solid strategy for 5 years ahead minimum, and you know what to do every year, and you know what you need to focus on as the first steps, etc., then it's quite easy to convince people, because I can already align almost for the next coming 2 years what would be roughly the cost to do something. So I mentioned, don't surprise them, just inform them, make them aware. So what to expect?
Yeah, and you provide them with safety, really, right? It's, hey, Jasper knows what he's doing. He's given us a roadmap that is not just right now, but is 5 years. And if everybody knows that the numbers you put in year 3, 4, and 5 are probably going to change by the time you get there. But that's fair, because nobody knows what it's going to look like in 3 years. And they know that. You giving them a crutch to walk on makes them feel so much more comfortable in the overall approach. I can totally see that. What advice would you give others that are looking to go composable and are maybe wondering how to do what you've done, what you've started?
Make a solid plan for your digital transformation. What are your steps in time that you want to do? And take the time. Don't try to do everything at once. Try to focus. And I think that's the nice thing about composable. Build your base blocks first and then start expanding. Eh? I think it digitally led business quite overwhelmed with a lot of opportunities. Eh? It's really to identify, these are the 100 best ideas, etc. But what is now actually the best 10? What are the ones that you should focus on? Eh? And being intentionally focused on those 10 is like a significant management challenge as well, because you need to get everybody aligned on this. Eh? And it's the core of your analytical challenge or your change management challenge, which digital things you need to optimize, which objective you need to take into the next step, and how to understand your interconnectedness of the digital experience to the rest of the business, because you're not doing it alone, because digital is not alone. It's connected to the wider organization you're in. And that's the big challenge you have to get not only your team or the digital people, but the entire organization around you in the same view for the future.
Thanks for listening to People Changing Enterprises. This show is brought to you by ContentStack, the leading composable digital experience platform for enterprises. Got a question or suggestion? Email us at podcast@contentstack.com. If you like the show, please leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back next week with a new episode helping you make your mark.